It was just a few weeks ago that we entered into a new year. And many of us, when that happens, we set up resolutions, or maybe they're not resolutions, but they're hopes, right, that we might be able to exercise more, which is one of my New Year's resolutions, which I plan on starting this week. I mean, I didn't identify when I would start, but it was sometime this year. Sometimes we want to eat better, or get more sleep or regular sleep, or spend more time with our family and our friends. But kind of the standing joke with resolutions is that they're so hard to keep, right? So that when people are to the point where they say, "Do you keep any resolutions or set up any resolutions?" they just kind of laugh and they get the joke. And part of the reason why it's so hard, of course, is because resolutions in and of themselves are attempts for us to break other habits. They are, in essence, a habit that we would like to insert into our life. And the idea of habits has been something I've been thinking a lot about, and kind of why we do what we do. I even started reading a book this week called The Power of Habits, and that's been pretty insightful as well. Because here's what William James, the philosopher and psychologist, said. He said, "All of life, so far as it has definite form, is but a mass of habits. Practical, emotional, intellectual, systematically organized for our good or woe, and bearing us irresistibly towards our destiny, whatever that may be." That's kind of a powerful statement. Think about that for a second. All of life is but a mass of habits. If you think about this morning, as you woke up and got ready for church, just think of all the things you did this morning that were just merely habit. How you woke up and what you did after you got up. When did you have coffee, or did you have tea, or did you not have any of that? Did you watch TV? Did you do other things? When you put on your shoes, do you put on a sock and then a shoe? Or do you put on a sock and a sock and a shoe and a shoe? Which is the right way? No, I'm just kidding. That's right. But habits have that tendency to slide us into a world where we think that's just the right way. I had a friend who was a basketball player, and he had a very particular way that he put on his socks and tennis shoes before he played basketball. And one time he said he forgot, and his method was left sock, left shoe, right sock, right shoe. And he said one day he kind of forgot, wasn't thinking, and he put on left sock, right shoe. And then was getting ready to play and realized that he had done it wrong. And so he went back into the locker room and took them all off and did it the right way. Left, left, right, right. It was a habit that had turned even, would we say, magical? And as I've been thinking about the idea of habits, which are, by the way, in our mind, a way to keep us from having to use too much brain power on all the little things. So we have kind of developed into the kind of people, as we evolved, it became one of those things where the brain began to take things like putting on your shoes or brushing your teeth that you did all the time, and it began to create these neural patterns in your brain, which then become habits, so that your brain doesn't have to think about it. Have you ever seen a little kid trying to brush their teeth? How much effort and intensity it takes. Well, if every time we brushed our teeth, it took that much intensity, if every time we put on our shoes, it took that much intensity, you could see where it would really hinder our lives. So the brain's developed these ways of doing habits. It makes things easier. And so I've been thinking a little bit about if William James' idea that all of life, so far as it has definite form, is but a mass of habits. I've been thinking about whether our religious life or what we believe about God sometimes can become just a habit. That we believe it and we do it not necessarily because we've discerned it and thought it through, not because we've been growing up and we've experienced new things in life and come across new people and then have to go back and think about what we think about, but because somehow along the way, this idea about what we think about God has become a habit. And I'm not sure, actually, I am pretty sure, that that's not a very helpful thing. Because as we read the passage today, and Jesus goes into that synagogue and looks for that passage, and it says he looked for it and opened it up, as though he was trying to set up a conflict almost. And he read that passage, which had been designated for the Messiah. It was a messianic passage. They all knew that. And Jesus read it and then said, "Behold, this has been done today." Now, next week, we'll look at how they responded to all this. Here's a preview. It didn't go well, right? It didn't go well. But part of what I think Jesus was doing on this day, in this passage, was setting up the idea that his ministry and his presence was going to be about challenging people's assumptions about God and challenging their habits. And as we follow through the book of Luke and see that, I think we'll see over and over again that part of what Jesus was about asking people to check their habits about God. I've been watching or listening to a lot of AM radio lately because I don't have Sirius radio in this new car I have. And I can only handle a little bit of AM radio at a time. Because if you've listened to it lately, and if you haven't, I would just encourage you to do it. A lot of those stations are filled with preachers. Preachers that preach in ways that are not akin to how I preach or what I think. So often you turn on the radio and you hear them talking about God and about us as though God is, yeah, a loving parent, but most of the time, kind of disappointed with us. And as I've talked to people here for the past couple weeks as I've been thinking about this, and talked to them a little bit about how they see God and how they think God sees them, I've noticed a trend. And that trend is that it seems like we often believe that God really loves us. But God isn't very proud of us. that there's always that love because really we're sort of screwed up kids. And just like a good parent will love all of their kids, that's how God is. And I really wonder if that's a habit. Because look at the last part of that passage that Jesus read. That he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Favor comes from the same word that favorite comes from. And it seems to me that we've gotten into the habit of seeing God thinking about us as though we see some people thinking about broccoli. Right? There are some people in the world that love broccoli. All out love it. Most, though, sort of are okay with it. I like it with cheese and in soup. And beyond that, I can eat it, but it's not my favorite. Sometimes when I hear people talk about how God sees them or sees people, it's kind of like that. Not as though we were God's favorite, but that we were kind of, God loved us because, like broccoli, some people love broccoli because it's good for them. That's it. Not because it's their favorite. My friends, you are God's favorite. And you might say, well, how can that be? Well, an all-loving God that has all power can have a billion favorites. You are God's favorite. What if we spent a week seeing if we could make that a habit? How would it change things? One of my first churches, after a little while, I was still very new into ministry, and I had a man come, and he was very tiny, and he was probably, I think, 85. And he came and he said, Reverend, I'd like to talk to you about something. I said, sure, and we sat down on the porch. And he said, I've tried to live all my life loving God, loving people, being good, all that stuff. And then he paused and he looked down, and he said, but about once a month, I do smoke a cigar. And then he started crying. Not just a tear, but shoulder shaking, sobbing, crying. And after he paused and I just let him cry, he said, do you think I'll be able to go to heaven? And my heart broke. And my heart breaks today thinking that there are people all out there, some of them even in churches, listening to preachers just like you are, but some at home and some far away, that have in their mind that they have to be the A-plus student before God will really love them. Well, my friends, the good news is this. You are God's favorite. Let's see what that might be when that becomes a habit in our heads.